community in the body of Christ. This is a burden of my heart this morning, and I want to give it to you with best that I can, and I want you to look at the verse of Scripture. There's tons of Scriptures this morning. Many of them will be on the screen, and so you just follow the screen, if you will, or in your Bible, if you can. There'll be a few of those I'd like to read right out of the Scriptures. But the community in the body of Christ. We all know the benefits of regular church attendance. What are the benefits of regular church attendance? Number one, hearing the Word of God. That is a benefit for regular church attendance. Number two is joining in to corporate worship. Those two things are really probably the most important ones that I know of. But many believers avoid, for whatever reason, they avoid getting involved beyond Sunday mornings. Past hurts, shyness, busy schedules are always that which is the blame. But there are many excellent reasons, ladies and gentlemen, why every believer should make an attempt to participate in a local congregation in every service. We all ought to be a part of every single service. Now, I have said before that sometimes I get a little alarmed because it seems like some folks just constantly miss church so easily. Ladies and gentlemen, you're born again, you're Christians, you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to be at the house of the Lord. Now, one reason is, and I think you'll agree with me on this, I have five Roman numerals, I'm going to one right now, encouragement. Just write it down, encouragement. Hearing biblical truth preached from the pulpit is many times uplifting. Not only that, but personal encouragement from a friend who knows your situation intimately can be even more powerful at times because you just need that. Now, going back to our setting of Scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. Notice, comfort yourselves together. And then it says, edify one another, even as also you do. According to 1 Thessalonians, we should be always in the process of building up one another at the house of God. Now, one of the things you should not do, and let me help you this morning, in our church, if somebody does miss service, or they're not there for a few days, or they're not there for a few service, please don't go up to them and say, well, it's about time you get here, you sluggard. That's probably not the best thing to say. Where in the world have you been? Don't you know we have church around here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday? That's probably not the best thing to say. However, it is right that we ought to edify, build up folks to come to the house of God. How can encouragement keep us from being hardened? If you go to Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 13, it says, but exhort one another daily, well, it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You see, sin can cause a hardening process and can cause a deceitfulness amongst us, and we can become deceived, and we can get very discouraged. But as we exhort, as we build up, as we edify, look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And how have the words of another spurned you perhaps onto love and good deeds? Here's what it says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good deeds. We are to provoke each other to love and good deeds. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, how many of you have had somebody else give you words that spurred you on to want to be faithful and dedicated to the Lord Jesus? In the atmosphere of mutual support, both friends are often emotionally uplifted. I got to thinking about the Apostle Paul. Go with me to Romans chapter 1 and verse 11 and 12. The Apostle Paul looked forward to reuniting with the church in Rome. He was so excited about meeting with them again. If you can take my picture out of that scene so I can see that verse of Scripture, I would really appreciate it. Anyway, when the Apostle Paul looked forward to reuniting with the church in Rome, not only did he want to impart spiritual truth to them, but he also wanted to receive encouragement from them as well. "For I long to see you," he said. Hey, do we say that about our church folks? Boy, I long to see you. This ought to be the oasis in the desert of our society. A local New Testament church ought to be the oasis in the desert. You fight the devil all week long, and there's all kinds of interpersonal problems and interpersonal relationships and boss relationships and terrible plights in life. But a church on Sunday morning, you ought to be able to come and take a deep breath and say, "Wow, I am just so glad to be in the house of God." And somebody ought to be there to encourage you, and you ought to be there to encourage somebody else. Please don't be like some who say, "I wish somebody would encourage me today." If you would just encourage somebody, no doubt somebody would encourage you. That's how it works. You kind of plant and you sow, and then you reap what you sow. "Oh, I wish somebody would remember me in prayer." Why don't you remember somebody in prayer? It just works that way. Somebody else, have they spurred you? "For I long to see you," he said, "that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established." That is, that I may be comforted. He said, the man of God said, "I want to be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." You know, it does my heart good this morning to see folks come in who've had trouble, like Mrs. Mott. It does me good to see her come in and to shake her hand and say, "God bless you." It does me good to see Dave and Judy come in. It really does. And I think I want to be a blessing to them. I want to encourage them. It does me a great pleasure to see Clay and Brenda come in. Brenda's in the wheelchair and had that terrible accident, but she's coming to church. She wants to be in the house of God. That encourages me. Therefore, I want to encourage her. Amen. Oh, how we ought to be encouraging one another. I am sure that you could describe a friendship or an experience in which both you and the person receiving encouragement through conversation that you had, I'm sure you could say that that did happen. So becoming a member of a church actually facilitates that kind of encouraging relationship. Don't let church ever get to a place where you have a platform where you preach from and try to scold somebody for not being at church. That's not important. By the way, that's not your job. If anybody does any scolding, that ought to be my job. That's not your job. Amen? Nobody should ever leave a church because somebody says, "Well, some of your members were so nasty to me. They didn't speak to me properly. They tried to encourage me, but instead they discouraged me." Come on, folks. This church thing ought to be one of encouragement. We come to church, we see each other, we smile, and we say, "God bless you. It's so good to see you in the house of God." Number two, healing. Corporate prayer. I believe in corporate prayer. I hope you do, because we certainly practice that quite a bit around here. But I believe in corporate prayer. You won't go to many churches where you see corporate prayer like what we do. But I believe in corporate prayer. And I honestly believe that corporate prayer is very powerful. Amazing things happen when we petition the Lord. What did James say? Go with me to James chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Now, we're talking about the community in the body of Christ. We are a community in the body of Christ. And one thing we find is encouragement. The second thing is healing. What did James say would happen when the elders prayed for those who are sick? "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." So what did James say would happen when the elders prayed for those who were sick? What did he say? "The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven." Isn't that a wonderful truth that we ought to have in our fellowship? I wonder if anybody here could give an example of a time when God answered your prayers for physical healing. By the upraised hand, nobody talking, but by the upraised hand, how many of you can say, "Preacher, one day when you had a corporate prayer for me or some member of my family, God met us in a tremendous way and blessed and healed and moved and satisfied the need"? How many hands could I see? I want you to look as folks have their hands raised of the people who have been prayed for and God has blessed through corporate prayer. Thank you. Isn't that a wonderful testimony that we can say to God that God through corporate prayer has done that? Of course, the Lord doesn't always make someone healthy simply because we request it. If He allows suffering to continue, we can be sure He has a specific purpose for that suffering in mind. Now, within the context of our relationships with other believers, God also works to bring us emotional and spiritual healing. Resolving interpersonal conflicts literally helps us develop better patterns of resisting and relating then to the Holy Spirit of God. In addition, opening up to a trustworthy person about our faults. You say, oh, preacher, I'm not sure if I want to do that. Hold it. Go to James chapter 5, verse number 16. I said, in addition, opening up to a trustworthy person about our faults is a powerful route to wholeness. Confess your faults. Does it not say that? Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. And then it says this, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What's James 5:16 say? When we confess our sins, we're healed. What a wonderful joy. Number three, community in the body of Christ. We have an effective outreach. We often think of evangelism as a solitary activity. In other words, talking one-on-one. A coworker, a neighbor, a relative, a stranger who doesn't know the Lord, and we're trying to lead them to the Lord. So we're thinking about a one-on-one type of situation. Well, in Mark chapter 6, verse 7, it's not talking about one-on-one there. How did He send out His disciples, by the way? If you look at Mark chapter 6, verse 7, and He called unto them, the 12, and began to send them forth, how did He send them out? Two by two to talk to somebody. And He gave them power over unclean spirits. Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20 is a great verse of Scripture that talks about the Great Commission. And how do you think God wants us to do the Great Commission? I believe God wants us to go out two by two. I believe that God wants us to go out and talk about the things of God, but two by two. It's important to have a friend with you when you go. But the outreach has got to be effective. How could you join with at least one other believer this week in sharing your faith? Call a buddy up. Hey, let's go see so-and-so. Let's see if we can lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it important for somebody to know the Lord? Yes, it is. Corporate prayer is a powerful aspect of outreach, and together we can pray for greater love for the lost, open hearts that we can seek to reach, and opportunities to seek and to speak of spiritual things. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 19. Paul asked the Ephesians to pray. He said, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make the mystery of the gospel. I want to talk about that, he said. I want to talk about it. I want you to pray for me. Can you relate to Paul's request? God, give me power to talk to somebody this week about the Lord Jesus. Roman numeral number 4, moving right along. Intimate friendships. The community in the local church ought to be one of intimate friendships. I think God wants us to develop and maintain intimate friendships with fellow believers. Most of these begin within the context of the Sunday morning Bible study. Now, so many of our folks still don't come to Sunday morning Bible studies. Ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to be the dynamic church that Jesus Christ wants us to be, we have got to get together and just talk about the Word of God and to ask questions in an open arena on a Sunday morning Bible study program. It's a Sunday school program. We call it the Sunday morning Bible study. It's there that you can ask a question. Hey, I don't understand that verse of Scripture. Can somebody explain that to me? And somebody can explain it to you. It's so important to be able to have you come to Sunday morning Bible study. It is so important that you understand the Word of God and that be able to talk about it and be in a corporate fellowship where we talk about the things of God. It's not just the church service that's important. It's even the Sunday morning Bible study. Oh, it's so vital to understand the Word of God. And there you will develop intimate friendships, small groups, intimate spiritual settings. Now, there was a group that wanted to play volleyball. Couples volleyball. Even at a couples volleyball, you can have intimate friendships and fellowship. And I'll guarantee you, every single one of those folks who came to volleyball built intimate friendships that they had never developed before with some people in the church. Am I right about that, folks who came? I know that I'm right. And you had such a wonderful time. It's such a good time. It is so important to meet together in small groups as well as the big church service. It's wonderful to have you at church service, but there's other groups you need to be a part of as well. And that volleyball thing was so exciting and so fun. And they got to know each other. And they got to really understand each other. It was unbelievable. You should have come. It was awesome to see. Romans chapter 12, if you will, please, 9 through 16. And this is the one I kind of would like to read a little bit. If you go with me to Romans chapter 12, let me just read a portion of Scripture here. Because this provides us instructions for how to treat others within the body of Christ. And which of these commands do you suppose speaks mostly to you? Now, sometimes we read our Bibles and we read over things like this, and we never think about corporate fellowship and corporate church, and we don't think about these things that God wants us to understand. So it's my job as a pastor to bring these things out to everybody so we can become a better church. Well, let's look at verse number 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep, be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the church. Here's how we should be conducting ourselves. This is how we should be acting. These verses provide instruction on how to treat others within the body of Christ. And which of those commands do you think apply to you? These are powerful things. This is how a church ought to operate. This may not be as exciting a message as it was Wednesday. Brother Joel Petrie said, "Preacher, I knew you was all cranked up Wednesday night. I knew you were cranked up." He came up to me right afterwards, and he said, "Man, was that good stuff." He said, "It was powerful and wonderful." But he said, "I could tell it the first time you led that first song, I could tell you was all cranked up." Well, I really wasn't. I just studied that word, and that word made me so excited. But this does too. This is how we should conduct ourselves in the house of God. Amen. We should love each other. Let love. Listen, don't squabble. Don't fuss. Let love reign. We serve a wonderful God. We ought to have so much love when somebody comes in who is not saved. We ought to be like a bunch of leeches after them. Try to get them saved. Let the love of God show them, man, this thing is real. This is real life. And we want you to be a part of this thing. We want you to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And then I got to thinking, we need to go to Proverbs chapter 27, please. Proverbs chapter 27. Follow me down, please, if you will. And look at verse number 6. What do the following verses in Proverbs 27 say about the benefits of friendships? Now listen, friendships are very important. How many of you believe that friendships are very vitally important? They are. Faithful, look at this. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Oh, you say, "But preacher, a friend would never hurt you." A wound is a hurt. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Remember when Judas had betrayed the Savior? He was not a friend to the Savior. And when he betrayed the Savior, he betrayed him with what this scripture says, a kiss. Deceitful. Don't take it that everybody's for you because they're mushy to you and, "Oh, you're the greatest and you're so wonderful and you're wonderful." Be careful. That might be a kiss of a deceiver. Be careful. But somebody who's going to love you will tell you the truth even if it hurts. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Look, if you will, at verse number 9. Same setting. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Hearty counsel. That word hearty is very important. Hearty counsel. Not slim sham. Not flim flam. Hearty counsel. Hey, here is what the Bible says, and we must live by the Bible. That's hearty counsel. I can't take anything away from the Scriptures. I can't add anything to it. Here's what it says. Here's what we must do. Verse number 10. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. Look at verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You let your friend sharpen you. And iron's tough stuff, folks. Iron sharpeneth iron. Let your friends sharpen you through the book. Have you found Ecclesiastes chapter 4 to be true in your life? Let's go to Ecclesiastes. Now, I love coming to church and having my friends here. There are certain people when I need to have a little, you may not have ever caught me doing this, that's okay. But there's a few people in my church that I just love to preach to because they respond to me while I'm preaching. I can see it in their eyes. I can see it in the way they're looking in their face. I can see if they nod their head or their eyes brighten up. And so if I need somebody to look to, I'm a little discouraged. You mean preachers get a little discouraged? Oh, from time to time, preachers get just as discouraged as anybody else. And sometimes right during a message, the old devil hits me with discouragement right during a message. Can you believe that? And I need somebody to look to. And so I'll scan the congregation and my eyes will fix on somebody who says, amen. Amen. Preach it. And all of a sudden, I get encouraged. Amen. It does. It really helps. Now listen, if that be true, then you need to be an encouragement to everybody else in your church. A help. Two are better than one. Do you believe that? Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Two are better than one. For if they fall, here's why two are better than one. If they fall, the one will lift his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Listen, you get to be good friends with other church people. Come on, get to be good friends. Someday you're going to need somebody to help you up because someday you will fall. I'm so excited. I've got some membership applications in my office from the Lilly family and from Phil Gatt. And we're going to take care of some of those here in the next week or so. And I'm excited about these folks wanting to be a part of the church. And Phil, bless his heart, I love Phil. And he came this morning and he said, Pastor, have you heard anything about my membership yet? And, you know, he's so excited about being a part of the church. And I said, Phil, we're going to take care of that this afternoon. So, fellas, deacon meeting tonight at, let's say, 5:15. I've got to take care of that tonight. And isn't that exciting? But you know what Phil's saying? I want to be a part. I want to be a part of this thing because I need to be a part. By the way, everybody here who's not saved, you need to be saved. If you're not part of a church, you need to be a part of a church. You need to be a part of some church that loves you, and you can love that church. Get in and worship God. What a joy. What a joy. Are you satisfied with the relationship you have right now within the church? If not, ask God to give you a quality friendship that will increase your joy. Help bear your sorrows. Bring honor to Him. Listen, give us your burdens. You know, it's an amazing place here. Hardly any other church sings happy birthday as much as we do. At larger churches, I mean, if you had 50 in your church or 35, you could sing that, but church running 300-400, you don't normally do that. Happy birthday to you. We don't normally do that. Happy anniversary. Nobody does that in the church anymore. They say, man, you're really old-fashioned. Yeah, and I like it. I just like it. And not too many churches just sing the songs of the faith either. But we do. And you know what? It blesses you, doesn't it? Don't those good old songs bless you? The songs of the faith. Man, they bless me. I love them. Some of this new modern stuff, I guess I'm just old. I just can't hardly stand some of that new stuff. I'm sorry. I can't do it. I've even tried to some. It still didn't work. And I just love the King James Bible. I've got all the others in my office somewhere. And once in a while, I pull them out and look at it and put it back. This is it. I love the book. I love to sing Amazing Grace That Never Gets Old. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid. I love that song. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. Don't you like that song? They never get old, do they? I mean, never get old. I love the songs of the faith. Number five, and I'll be done. Practical help. Being involved in a local congregation, local church is so important. Being involved in a local congregation usually provides many opportunities to give and to receive practical expressions of God's love. Go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. I've got to ask you this question. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. What's he talking about? For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. What's he talking about? Hey, church at Philippi, how was Paul helped by the church at Philippi? They took care of his necessities. They took care of his money needs. He said, hey, I thank you, church at Philippi, for what you've done for me. You've been such a practical help. Didn't you enjoy helping those missionaries that were here the other day? Man, we got them little gifts. We fixed a car for a guy, bought tires for some people. I mean, we did a wonderful thing, and our church was blessed because we did that. Now listen, if you haven't got your faith promise in yet, you need to get that in. We're waiting on you so we can tabulate everything up. By the way, where are those cards, fellas? Anybody know where those cards are? Denny, would you stand up quickly, please? Oh, we'll do it right now while I'm preaching. I got to get the faith promise done. If you haven't got a faith promise card, would you raise your hand very quickly? Brother Denny, show that card real quick. Everybody look right back there at little Denny. Little Denny. You don't have a card? Raise your hand quickly. I don't have a faith promise card. I need a faith promise card. This is for our missions giving. We need to have you part of that missions giving program. Practical help. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. We are admonished. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Do good and communicate. Don't neglect that. Aside from financial and prayer support, these are some practical ways we can help the members of the church. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4. Has anybody in this church ever been showed love by anybody else in this church? How many in this church, now be honest with me, this is a great church, but how many in this church have been blessed by somebody else, either giving you money, giving you things, giving you certificates, helping you work, but somebody's done something for you in this fellowship sometime since you've been here? Could you just raise your hand and hold it up there real quick? Wow, look at that. Somebody has blessed somebody. Isn't that what the fellowship of the saints is all about? Now, I wonder if I could ask, I'm not going to, how many of you have helped somebody? Don't raise any hands. How many of you have actually helped somebody purposely, on purpose? Think about it. You've been blessed, but how many times have you been a blessing to others? Oh, we need to communicate this fine love towards each other in the church house of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take it upon us, the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Giving to others, does giving to others ever feel good to you? Look at me, everybody. Does giving to others ever feel good to you? Does it ever feel good to say, well, we bought that missionary tires and we fixed that missionary's car and we took the money, we did this and we did that, we bought them a suit, bought them an out. Doesn't that make you feel good? Just to be able to give always makes you feel good. The community in the body of Christ. Here we are. We're in the community in the body of Christ. The Macedonian churches begged for the blessings of helping the saints. They begged to help the saints. In John 13:35, this is my last verse. I believe this with all of my heart. A church ought to be a love fest. The church ought to be just full of love and attention to each other. If anybody sees anybody's need, we ought to try to help meet the need. Anybody's discouraged, we ought to try to lift them up. Anybody's not saved, we ought to be Johnny on the spot, folks, to try to talk to everybody who's not saved and say, listen, we're not trying to be pushy, but we want you to go to heaven with us. We so enjoy you being in church with us, we just want you to go to heaven with us. And we can show you how to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and know Him as your personal Savior. We can do that today. What's that verse say? But this shall all men know, that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Do we really love one another like we say? Are we really sacrificially giving? Are we ready to be a part of what's going to happen at the Harvest Baptist Temple? Are you saved this morning? Do you know the Lord as your personal Savior? This would be a great church to get involved in after you got saved and start working. If you're here this morning and the old devil's robbed you of blessings because you failed to give and failed to love, let me remind you one more time that the community of believers in the body of Christ love one another. By this shall all men know that you love me, because you have love one to the other. Let's stand together, please.